I think probably most of us all want a roughly happy life, predictably happy to some degree or another. But you never do know when the neighbor is going to decide to till their garden. Could be any time. And then you and I get to do motor meditation, which is not so bad compared to chainsaw meditation. Do you remember doing that at the old place during a day sit when they were taking down the tree across the road? Many trees, it seemed like. Or Alice in Chains meditation, which if you were there, Eshin, early in my career, they had an outdoor Alice in Chains concert across the street during Sesshin. Yeah, that was remarkable. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today, Eshin John Godfrey. When we came together with our cups for tea, I thought, you know, we've been coming together, he and I, for tea. Our hands have met so many times over the years, for 25 years, and Eshin has been a mentor of mine. I was when I first came to Mount Baldy Zen Center, he was already an Osho teacher, and we did many jobs together, and I learned so much from him. Our hands are older now, more wrinkled than they used to be, but I think also we've had our edges smoothed, and I dare say our hearts softened over these many years too. Eshin runs the Vancouver Zen Center in Vancouver, a beautiful house in a leafy neighborhood. I recommend you go visit sometime. And Eshin runs many retreats up there, and of course he comes down here. Sometimes I go up there. So I appreciate you coming very much, Eshin. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I can't talk too long. Sometimes I talk too long, but I can't talk too long this time. So I have to be careful. But I want to start off by saying it's wonderful coming down. I come down regularly to meet Koshin, who's mentioned we were we go back a long, long way. And although I might have started before him, you'll be surprised at how much I've learned from him. This is a wonderful island. It's a wonderful group of people. I had a flash when I met you before coming in. It's like, when I saw you all interacting, I just thought, is it really necessary to give these folks a talk? But I've been scheduled to, so I will. But I was asked about what sort of talk, and I thought, because I've been talking about it a lot over the last few months, the Heart Sutra, and how that can inform and help us in being a human being, because it is about being a human being, being in our life. And the core expression in the Heart Sutra, noticing here, you use the word shunyata. Shunyata is form, form is shunyata. Let's look at it a little bit first, theoretically, philosophically. Form, we all have a sense of that. We've grown up with the education that form is our conventional world. I'm me, you're you. This is the floor. the sun coming through the window. But when we only have four, we tend to solidify it too much. It becomes too heavy and dense. And we find that it's not so easy to be adaptable to what comes up in our life. And the teaching of Shunyata helps with that. Again, looking at it theoretically, Shunyata can indicate that everything is in flow and flux, including us. In other words, don't hold on too much to ideas of I'm this sort of person, they're that sort of person, because in fact, we're always changing. The Diamond Sutra actually says you can't say what something, as soon as you say what something is, it's actually in the process of change. So you're talking about something in the past. Everything is moving on. Some things we notice in ourselves, we change quickly, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions. The floor, the mountains, are also changing. It's a lot slower, but we shouldn't take them in such a solid, unchanging way. Also, built into the theory, the idea of Shunyata, is that everything is in flux together. If we take, we're not really separate and apart from things. In other words, I or anything doesn't have any existence apart from anything else. It can't be really separated. Perhaps in your meditations, you get to the point where you realize who you really are is the actual relationship with the moment. It's not you. We start off with ourself. But the more deeply we look at the experience of ourself, we have no existence apart from the relationship with this moment. And this is who we truly are, is actually the relationship with this moment and everything in it, rather than the idea of exclusively of just I am. So this is the idea of Shunyata. Let's look for a moment of how we access, how we come to experience this, to actually acknowledge, realize this in our sitting. There's methods given to us in our sitting that can help us let go of this sense of I am and open up to the experience of being the relatedness of all this. I'll briefly touch on this. One method in sitting, and I think, let me just say, everyone actually does, in my experience, a mixture of various methods even during one sit. It's a messy process, but it works. Is the practice of awareness, noticing, and looking at it more technically. We notice where we are. The information is the sense data, the sense stream that comes from the five sense organs by which we experience where we are. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching. And just looking at one of them, hearing, I find with people, hearing is often the easiest to get. When we start meditating, when we're new to it, if we look carefully, there's a sense of I'm listening to sounds. We should actually be grateful for that noise, the guy sitting next door. Yeah. It's sound coming through. And just notice carefully, there's a sense of subject, myself, that's listening to a sound. And every now and then, that dissolves away. And there's pure sound. Everything is exactly the same, but the consciousness of a subject and object has dissolved away, yet everything is just as it is. And if we practice this through all these five outer sense organs, we get glimpses, and over time those glimpses get longer and fuller, that all this is just this, and it's part of the experience of existing. What's more difficult is the sixth sense organ, which is our mind, our personal mind, and the usual stream that comes throughout is our thoughts. I won't go into this too much, but maybe if people have practiced a long time, you'll notice at the beginning, we don't even know it, but we identify with our thoughts. We're making our thoughts real. We actually believe, we give them a reality rather than just, you know, a mental bubble of air. And I know with some people it hits them suddenly one day, they're not their thoughts. They've let go of that. And there's a fuller experience of being just this rather than the self-identity that we put on our thoughts, our ideas. It's really letting go, not the thoughts themselves, but the way we hold on to thoughts, hold on to the ideas, identify with our thoughts, our ideas so tightly, that begins to soften or even just drop away. And I know in my case, after a long, long struggle, I found working with the sixth sense wasn't it finally any different than the other five senses to the outside. And it allowed the experience of just being really intimate with all this, the flow and flux of just all this, and that I'm intimately part of this, I'm not separate from it. That's using awareness, noticing. I was taught, and actually what was much more natural for me was actually breathing. And I'll just summarize it. It's a journey. At first it was just noticing the breath, being able to get enough discipline on my awareness to stay with the breath, and it was very much a physical breathing. But over time, the breath, breathing in and breathing out, brought my mind, my head, and body together. And there's a deeper experience of breathing as just the rising and falling of my life force, my energy, you know, being more. And then much later, it was Dogen's phrase, the bottom of the bucket falls out. The breathing somehow opened up. Breathing out was opening, expanding out. Consciousness was expanding out. Breathing in was breathing everything in to this one point of myself. And just using through this deepening investigation of breathing brought me to experience and begin to acknowledge the fact that the breath was in fact the movement between the sense of myself and the sense of what was outside of myself, and just brought them together, they're not separate. And that really who I really was this whole experience of this movement of energy, of life force. I was never big on Cohen study, but the way I see it is that we can use questioning the faculty of our intelligence to question. And to me, there's two fundamental koans, and they are, what is this? Who am I? What is this? Is really asking us to look at the outside through the five sense organs. Who am I? And of course, there isn't an answer. It's a question that's asking us to find that experience of what is this, deeper and deeper. Who am I? Deeper and deeper. So these, I think, are fairly traditional methods, and I've spoken about them in my own way, of this investigation we do to experience shunyata, and also how that informs the idea of form. We've got the idea of we've grown up with myself, and there's this, there's that, of how it gives us more insight into what form really is. And as the Heart Sutra says, it can't be separated from shunyata.
Shunyata, which means?
Pardon?
Shunyata, which means?
It's often translated as emptiness or void. Yeah.
Just in case.
If we keep investigating ourselves, there's this fundamental experience of letting go of subject and object, and everything is just as it is. Sometimes this is called the source, where we come from. Problems with that terminology, that narrative, but it gives the idea. This is the koan mu. It's everything just as it is before, if you like, the sense of I am that appears. It's the reason I have trouble with this is the source we come from. I think it's more accurate to say this source breaks open and the sense of myself appears within it. The whole source of everything breaks open in the sense of yourself, the sunlight, that wonderful noise next door, all appears within it. But now, if you like, within oneness, we've got discernment. The form appears within, I'm picking on words, even that's not quite the right word, within oneness. Oneness is appearing in a way that there isn't just this beyond any comparison, any naming. Oneness is appearing now with a sense of, some sense of form. Myself, yourself, the noise. And when we look at it, I want to touch on Lin Chi's teaching of the four conditions, because I think that helps us work with and practice with shunyata is form, form is shunyata. Lin Chi, it seems like his big breakthrough, his big realization, was realizing there's four conditions to this interplay, if we want to call it, between shunyata and form. And he set it up in terms of self and environment, self and situation. And what I've been talking about is when both the sense of self and sense of environment fall away. It's not that they disappear, but the consciousness that recognizes myself and all this falls away, but everything is still, hasn't changed. It's not, emptiness doesn't mean there's nothing. It means letting go of the subjective, objective viewpoint in our consciousness. So that's one of Lin Chi's four states. He says, we're actually, if we look in terms of time, we're always one of these four states, conditions. And one of them is where there's the person and an environment has fallen away, that standpoint. Then he talks about the state where the self has disappeared, but the environment hasn't. So look at your own experience of this. It's when the outside comes forth to bring up its presence. The example, I'm sure you can find a local example here on the island. It happens to you many times a day. Just notice it. This is what we're trying to do. In Vancouver, there's a big park. And on one of the beaches, third beaches, it looks over Georgia Strait, which is the continuation of Puget Sound going up further north. And in the evening, sometimes you turn a corner and then just suddenly the whole evening sky is red. And suddenly the redness comes forward. It's like, And then the next state appears, and people say to themselves, that blew me away. And what they don't realize, people that don't practice, is that's what's literally happened. The experience of that red sun negated the subjective viewpoint. There was just the redness. And then a moment later, the sense of self appears and says, well, it blew me away. That's what literally happened. The surprise, the something is just, you can almost say, overwhelms us. And the subjective viewpoint falls away. It's just Lin Chi's third condition is where there's the sense of self, but the sense of situation falls away. And this is where we manifest ourselves in a way that's not so strong, but just so sure that we don't worry about the environment. Sometimes when we're talking to someone, we've got a passion with someone, we just tell our story and we lose the sensitivity or awareness of just where the other person is as we're talking. If we go too far, I guess it's almost like being too full of ourselves too often, too much of the time. But it's when it is that sense of just being full of ourselves in a wholesome way. And the sense of connection with where we are has fallen away. Lin Chi's fourth condition, and I'm sure you've worked this out by now, is when both self and condition are both there. The presence of ourself arises, and who we're with, the situation, even that noise, it comes forth in its own presence. It's the presence of everything arises together. Everything is alive. There's equal power in everything that arises together. And I think we can all pick up, this is the place to be. But we can't do that all the time. So I find practice is recognizing, not too heavy in the recognizing, but just recognizing these four conditions just come up at different times during the day. And the first one gives me over time that sense that everything is part of me. I am part of everything in a very, it's almost a cellular way. It's not just a mental idea. It's a living experience. And the second and third conditions let me know, if you like, in a way, two things happen. In doing, practicing it again and again, it allows me the sense of self, not environment, for myself to grow more fully, to trust myself more fully, to break through fears, anxieties, doubts, everything that's holding me back, just step by step. So it's a valid condition to be in. It can be one where we grow more fully in ourselves. And the third condition for me is when there's just environment, is actually noticing a little more deeply, noticing, letting things come forward and be more perceptive, more deeply perceptive of just where the other person is when we're relating to them. Noticing the shift in someone as it happens. In other words, the perception of our surroundings becomes more precise, more sharper, more deeper. I find it's most satisfying when both are there. And the second and third conditions help us more fully experience really being alive with who we're with, or what's happening, in a way we're both equally here. It's not just myself, there's a space for both. I find that state, it's a boundless consciousness. It's not my mind. I'm actually beginning to not use the word mind too much. I tend to see it as my mind. It's a boundless consciousness, and in a way it doesn't have a particular profile, but in a way it's more in my body, it's more in my heart. It's not something that's in my mind. And I think this is the aspect. This is shunyata appearing in our ordinary, in the state of form. There's a boundlessness, and at the same time, there's a discernment, a precision in noticing. There's discernment, precision in how we respond in this situation together. I think, I really believe, and I found, at least in my case, this is the way of actually finding my real humanity. We often hear things from the outside of how to be a human, what helps us. We have various religions with their do this, don't do that, you know, be a good person, and that's helpful. We have all sorts of social issues, you know, agendas going on that help form us, you know, that we use to help us form. But what Buddhism is saying is that the full human in each of us has always been there, right from that moment of conception. And an analogy in the seed of a flower, in the seed of a tree, is the whole completeness of that flower, that whole completeness of that tree, and the activity, the dharma, if you like, if you want to use those words, the life force of that seed throughout its existence is to bring out the fullness of a flower or a tree. And I see the same way with ourselves. Right from the beginning of that conception, the wholeness, the completeness of ourself was already there, in, if you like, in seed form. And our whole life is that, it's almost an unconscious imperative to fulfill who we are. We often say, like, look outside to find out who we should be, what could help us be ourselves. But I think what Buddhism, especially Zen, is saying, the fullness of ourself has always been with us. Our practice is to somehow break free of how we limit ourselves with various patterns and habits from somewhere in the past, of breaking free of those, so the fullness of ourself that's always there is able to blossom. And I see practice very much that way. So I ask all of you, something I've learned myself, is actually trust. There's a remarkable person at the core of all of us that sort of wants to come out, wants to grow, wants to blossom. And Lin Chi, later on, after he realized these four conditions and was helping his students, if you read the Lin Chi record, he just seems to be saying again and again, trust yourself. Trust what's already there. And of course, that is easy to say, and we all know the work of getting over our doubts and worries and fears and so on. But he's saying again, trust yourself. The fullness for yourself is there. And I really see this is what our practice is. And really what the message of the Heart Sutra is saying. But I should just add what I've been mentioning before, in trusting ourselves, this self is not just the sense of myself. Koshin and I were talking last night, and it's the use of the word self. We identify so much with myself, but the other is also myself. And in my narrative, my use of words is my true self is both myself and other. It's something greater than just myself. And this is what I'm trying to indicate when I say, in time, we come to see that we're the full relationship of all this, rather than just myself. Where my true self is the sense of myself. It's yourself. It's everything together in this huge, boundless consciousness, which is Dharma, which is Shunyata in form. The more we actually do this, and I think we all experience it to some degree, that everything is part of it. I mean, that's Buddhism says that's always there. It's just that we've forgotten it. It's not that we have to find something that we don't have. It's returning to what has always been there. And the more we can touch this, the more we can appreciate it and live it. There's a concern for everything. And I honestly feel, despite the problems that seem to be coming up in the world, there is this universal consciousness actually is shared by everyone. That there's more and more awareness, especially with young people. It seems to be in them right from the beginning. It wasn't when I lived. You know, there is a global consciousness that is changing, unfolding. And the deeper sense of being part of everything, that things matter, and it comes with lots of different experiences. The way animals are seen. When I was first brought up, they were just seen as something out there. They were wild. They hunted for their prey. And the YouTube is just full of videos actually showing that animals that when I grew up with were eating each other were actually not just playing together, but were actually looking after each other. And this seems to be completely understood by younger people, this sense of us all being together, actually not being different. We are an animal that can think. Animals are like us. They communicate. They have feelings for who they are. You know, an elephant feels and communicates as an elephant with the faculties in there. Same with an ant. And now they're discovering plants doing the same thing. That the plants are actually communicating with each other, and actually, I think the studies of trees, that they're actually, I forget the science, the network of little spores or something under the ground, are actually helping or sometimes resisting each other, and more this, despite the difficulty of times, there's more and more of just what this boundless consciousness really contains, that we really are all together, that everything matters. What happens to other people matters to me because they're part of me and I'm part of them. I took out my watch to watch the time, and now for the first time I'm looking at it, and I realize I didn't even notice when I started it, so I'm just entering up on a light note. Just appreciate this moment for what it is. Chanting the Heart Sutra in English came to the phrase, no old age, and I thought, given my age, looking around, some, you know, you think, whoever wrote this got it wrong. There is old age. but what they're saying is, don't make a big thing of it. When it arises, don't resist it. Don't make a big thing of it. Just let yourself do the process of being old age. And then it's not a problem. It's not an object that you have to, what should I do with it? I wish I wasn't. It's just this flow of existence. I remember someone mentioned 11:45, so we've got 5 minutes. The best analogy, I spoke about the theory of shunyata and form. The analogy I like best is swimming in the river of life. And if you look at it, I don't have time to go into this. River of life, it's always changing. And we're swimming with it, and we learn to swim with the different conditions of the river that we come across, which is really appreciate this moment and everything in it, because there isn't anything else. And just, you know, jump in and swim with it. And I think this is the message of the Heart Sutra. And I think it's a really, I found it a really wonderful thing of really, really coming home to who I am and coming back home to my life and being in this flow. So thank you.
We have 3.5 minutes for questions.